Okay, good morning everyone. Thank you for coming along to Dynamics 201 Retail with Microsoft Dynamics and AEX 2012. I'm Sue Driscoll from Microsoft and my colleague here is Greg Nikolov from Adaptable Solutions.
Since I've been on an AEX technical guru for over 10 years, in the way back thing that seemed to come through on the keynote yesterday, my involvement with computing and stuff goes way back for about more than 30 years. I remember in the early 1980s seeing a Commodore PET for the very first time, programmed in Microsoft Basic, and I was totally turned around by that experience. Previously to that, I'd been wanting to do archaeology at university and become an archaeologist, and as soon as I saw that, I said, so that, I'm going to do computers. They're obviously way more exciting. And moving on from that, in early 1980s, not long after that, I was working with Microsoft Xenix, which was an early Microsoft version of Unix in about 1982. And we were programming in C using a relational database, so that's 30 years ago, that's pretty cutting edge for that time. Since that time I've been involved in and out with Microsoft technologies. I've watched Windows NT come, I've watched it grow up, somewhat like a child, because it's been around sort of about, for me it's been around for about 20 odd years. And I've been in the ERP space over most of that time as well. So in the last 10 years, I started a company called Adaptable Solutions with a business partner, and we focus in the Dynamics AEX product. Now, initially, AEX was not a Microsoft product, but not long after we started, Microsoft bought it, and since then it's grown in leaps and bounds. So it's like Bill Gates said, overestimate the impact of the next 2 years and underestimate the next 10 years that follows. So, and we've got a corollary to that to Bill's comment is that software sticks around for a lot longer than you think. Because I remember the Y2K issue, a lot of it was very old software that should have been retired years ago, but it wasn't. As I said, I've got an original Xbox, I got it the day it came out. I didn't quite stand in the queue, but pretty near. And I got a Kinect the phone day it came out as well. Unfortunately, I don't get a lot of time to use the Kinect and the Xbox these days because I'm focusing mainly on AEX. I love technology. I do like to have a bit of a play with it. And all my friends know that, so they love coming around my place because there's always a new gadget for me to show them. Whether it be my new Dyson vacuum cleaner or my Raspberry Pi little cigarette packet sized media device. I do like a good beer, and I think sometimes my friends come in because I know my fridge is full of beer as well. So, you know.
Okay, so I'm Sue Driscoll from Microsoft. I've been with Microsoft for 8 years. Prior to that, I was a JD Edwards consultant, mostly in Europe, where I was involved in doing a sort of worldwide or rather European-wide rollout of JD Edwards to various companies throughout that. So I actually started using computers at university. I started off doing a science degree and then changed to computer science when I just did it as an interest paper when it started coming out, and then suddenly I was able to actually do a degree in it, which was fantastic. So one of my hobbies is online gaming. That's a picture of my main raiding tune in World of Warcraft. So I've got the Savior of Azeroth, which means I've killed Heroic Madness. So if anyone of you knows World of Warcraft, you'll know what that means. And I also love technology. So a lot of friends of mine used to come around to my house in the UK and they'd look at my magazines, and I'd have T3, which was Tomorrow's Technology Today, and Top Gear. And they said I couldn't have been a normal girl. I must have been a boy in disguise, because I just didn't. Where were the girly magazines? I just never, ever had any. I always had boy stuff. And of course, I'm really looking forward to the new Surface. Have any of you guys seen the video of the Surface? Doesn't it look awesome? And Steve Ballmer has said all Microsoft people are going to get one. Yay! So I'm really happy to be working for Microsoft. For Dynamics AEX, I've been doing, I'm the ERP specialist at Microsoft, as I mentioned, but Dynamics AEX is my specialist subject there. So I learned it when it was called Xapta from the start, and since about 2 years in, I then became a certified trainer for Dynamics AEX. So I've been training on the last three versions, training partners, and I've also delivered the What's New in AEX 2012, the current release, in at least three other countries other than New Zealand. So that's been quite a lot of fun. So the topic today is Dynamics AX in retail. How many people here know Dynamics AX? Anyone? Okay, a couple of you. How many of you are in retail? A lot of you in retail are using some sort of retail software. Good, so that's great that you're going to be looking at this. So first of all, we're going to have a look at what Dynamics AX is, just give you an overview of the actual software itself, which retail is a part of. Then we're going to look at the actual retail and pause in it. So Dynamics AX comes with a retail module so that you have your full enterprise resource planning system, which has, you know, your finance, your AR, your AP, your manufacturing, HR, and also retail in it. So we're going to look at that, and more specifically about how you design your POS within Dynamics AX. So Greg will be showing you that. Then the last demo we're going to do is looking at FPOS integration. Now, FPOS is one of the things in New Zealand that everyone seems to do it. You know, the corner dairy does. If you go to one of those fairs, you'll find people standing there and they will still take FPOS. I mean, my husband, for example, doesn't carry cash at all. Do you carry cash?
No, I don't carry any cash because I never have any.
So he uses FPOS everywhere all the time. So New Zealand is one of the biggest ones, about biggest countries in the world where people use FPOS instead of cash. And of course, FPOS integration and how we integrate that to our point-of-sale devices is quite important. So Greg's going to go over how we do that with our Dynamics AX for retail. So a little bit on Microsoft Dynamics AX first. It was released in 1998, so it's about 14 years old now. So it was initially called Damgaard Xapta, Damgaard being a Danish company that created it, and they gave it the name Xapta. So you might find some people referring to it as Xapta still. Microsoft acquired this product in 2002, and over this time, there's been 9 major releases, the current one being Dynamics AX 2012. So it was, when it was bought, it was Damgaard Xapta. Microsoft then called it Microsoft Business Solutions Xapta, and then we did a rebranding of our business solution products into Microsoft Dynamics, which was back in 2004, but it's amazing how many people still call it by the old names. We've got over 12,000 customers worldwide, which is in 32 countries, as you can see here. I've just put a few customers up there, and we have over 120 in New Zealand, which range in size from 3 to over 300 users, though I'm actually going to be working on a project that's going live next year that has over 750 users of Dynamics AX. So the Omnicom Group is one of our big customers abroad. They have about 38,000 employees, not all users of the system, but that's still pretty good. Patagonia is a very well-known brand. You've probably heard of that, do clothing and stuff like that. And Lotus F1, again, these are just three completely different types of customers. They also use Dynamics AX as a back-end. In addition, Microsoft use it. We use it ourselves in our products as well. So our Xbox is actually manufactured. The plant that runs the manufacturing actually uses Dynamics AX to manufacture the Xbox. We also do it to create the DVDs that Windows and Office, for example, come out on. So we use it for production in there. And we've got a couple of other customers from New Zealand there. So Methven is a company that does tapware. You might have had Methven in your showers and your bathrooms. They've been using Dynamics AX for a few years. And there's a couple there that are adaptable customers, which I'll just let Greg talk to.
Yeah, and Vivac is a wholesaler, importer, distributor, as well as a retail arm. They're a customer that we're currently implementing with AX in retail, and they're going to be going live with both in October this year. So it's a chain of, you might know them basically as a chain of outdoor shops, so this is throughout New Zealand. So they're very keen to upgrade the existing retail system into Dynamics AX with everything that's basically in one box. Wycliffe, it's a company that, for people like me who are pretty old old computer people, they would remember boxes of Limeflow with Wycliffe logos on the side. Wycliffe is a printing company, historically, they've grown up quite a lot, and now they are more into basically distribution and basically warehousing, global logistics almost for big New Zealand companies. You've probably interacted with them in ways that you would never think. For instance, if you've ever found your ID to order a particular tax form, you've interacted with the Wycliffe systems. If you've a bank, if you basically requested any form from your bank, they've probably come from through Wycliffe. Same with checkbox, they did have a big line printing checkbox for people. And also, the other way that you would have interacted with them is that if you've got a rider fitness or registration on your car, they manage all that as well. With the logistics and distribution of rider fitness books in particular, it's quite strict. Each one has to be uniquely numbered and controlled. So they have to be able to trace a rider fitness sticker right back to the actual shop at car, you know, the individual rider fitness operator issued it, and trace it all the way through. So Wycliffe have everything fully automated. They have about 100 users in AX, but the amount of automated transaction they put through the system belies that size. It's equivalent of 4 times the size of that in terms of sheer volume of transactions, so it's huge.
Okay, so Microsoft Dynamics AX, we've just put a PowerPoint up here because you can get these slides afterwards. So this is an example of a role center for a financial person. So you can see we've got some examples here. At the top we have financial activities. So these are like little piles of paper that enable you to actually pop on your desktop that will actually show you how many documents there are, and then you can click on the actual pile of paper to drill into them to take you to that form. So this is something that Greg will be showing you shortly, how you can actually personalize these queues to suit yourself. So rather than going into, you know, looking at every single customer's invoices, just look at your customer's invoices. Over on the right, we've got a SQL reporting services chart. Dynamics AX, of course, uses a SQL database. All its reports are actually done in SQL reporting services, and it uses SQL analysis services to give us some cubes as well. On the left, underneath the actual queues, you can see we've got a work list. This is where we can get alerts for things such as someone's changed a credit limit, someone's changed a bank account, or it could be, can you please approve this purchase requisition? Can you please, you know, all that sort of thing. Workflow information like that can come along into that area. You can see below that there's a sort of KPI chart. So again, you can get business intelligence on your work, on your role center that enables you to see what's going on in your business. So you can see there they've got some, you know, actuals, revenues and expenses, how the trend is going. And over on the right you can see, again, it depends what your role is as to what you see on the actual form, but this particular person is interested in the bank accounts and also has reports and links to go out to other areas. So now we'll have a quick look around Microsoft Dynamics AX, and I'll ask Greg to do this bit.
So you can see that okay? So what we have here is a standard Microsoft, they call it a demo VPC, stands for Virtual PC. This is a completely self-contained Dynamics AX system that has, in this particular case, it's got Dynamics AX, it's got all the components it needs, and we've got the retail product that we're working with as well. And you'll see on the right-hand side over here, we've got three shortcuts for three stores. New York Terminal 1, Seattle Terminal 1, and Seattle Terminal 2. So this is simulating being not only the head office, if you like, for the whole organization, it's also saying, well, look, you can pretend to be one of these three stores and basically run the piles as if you're that particular lane at that particular store. So what we have here is, I've got a couple of sessions already running here, so we'll just switch to the first one. So just to give you a quick look at Dynamics AX, this is basically the sort of thing that this particular person is earning. He is an accounts receivable administrator for ContainZone, and this is basically the homepage. When you log into AX, he will be presented with this every day. He can customize this. It's based on SharePoint technology. So, again, it can be customized for him, and it can be customized in a shared way so all people in the AR team can see the same data. So what Arnie's got here, he's got some graphs here, a graph that's showing him the account receivable in the past periods, information in terms of how much it's been owing over what periods. We've got some things up here called queues, which we're going to talk about a little bit further. And further down the page, because the his red part is particularly infinitely deep. He can go from an able page as long as he likes. We've got some alerts here. We only set up an alert for a couple of customers with a credit limit's been changed. And somebody's changed the credit limit, and it's triggered an alert through the RNE to say, hey, this customer's credit limit's been changed. Now, that may be deliberate, or it may require one further investigation. So it's just a way of setting things up. Effectively, this becomes a way to manage your organisation or the role you do by an exception basis. So rather than having to run around and scan everything and make sure the credit limits have been touched, you sort of get the system set up and monitoring for you, and then that comes and tells you when things are not what they were. So that's more like a management by exception. Now, in this particular case, Arnie's got a queue set up, which is invoices that are overdue. So in this particular case, it's not meant to be like a little stack of newspapers with papers. And the number on there, which is 135 in this case, is how many there are. So it's telling them there's 135 invoices that haven't been paid, that should have been paid. So we'll just click on that. And what it will do is it will take me into the main AX client, and it will bring up a list of all those customers. And you can see the customers. Now, Arnie's particularly worried about a customer called Sunset Wholesale. So he wants to have a look at what Sunset Wholesale is doing. So we're going to scroll down the list here, and we're going to find Sunset Wholesale in the list. Here we go. And he's going to, then we're going to filter the list just to that particular customer, 1102. So now we're showing the list of all the invoices that Sunset Wholesale had outstanding at the moment. And this is where this system will remember this filtered view. You can see at the top here it says customer invoice passed you unsafe filter. Arnie can easily save it, so you can call it Sunset Wholesales. So you can then quickly apply that filter anytime you like. So you can come back here and you can pick it from a drop down list, so you can reapply that anytime you like. Secondly, and the reason why we other thing is, you can save this as a queue. Now what that would mean is that we can push it out to the web page that we just saw earlier, so I'll do that now. So there is Sunset Wholesales overdue invoices.
While you're on that, yep. You notice also you've got the option to show the sum of the field.
Oh yes,
so
I didn't show it.
Click on that, Greg.
Yeah, very good point, sir. So I forgot that. One of the things, one, you can show how many there are, but you can also show what the total balance is. In this case, we want to see the open amount. We want to see how much money they owe us. Okay, and we're also going to say, well, look. We also want you to flag it up as an error or particular warning if it's greater than or equal to 10. So provided these guys are less than 10 open invoices, so they're reasonably happy. So we just said that. So we'll say that. So now we've now go back to the home page. Push it up to
top. So this home page is based on SharePoint. It actually uses SharePoint as its option. All of these areas you can see here are actually SharePoint web parts. And that gives you the flexibility to add anything else that SharePoint can see as well. You actually only need SharePoint Foundation Services, which comes with Windows Server as standard, but you can also get SharePoint Server, which gives you a lot more web parts that you can actually put on your home page. So for example, if Outlook was something you really wanted to have on your web page in Dynamics AX, you could actually have your inbox or your calendar, for example, showing in there.
Okay, so I've refreshed the screen and you notice it's automatically added it to the account receivable activities web part at the top there. It's brought in Sunset Wholesales at the end. It has told me there are 21 outstanding here, and it's put a little alert sign there saying, hey, it's greater than the alert limit. So if Arnie comes in tomorrow or any time in the future, he can just simply click on that and he will go to this to a filter view showing him all the whole Sunset Wholesale overdue invoices. So from that point of view, it means he can start managing stuff, not by exception. The menu that I picked on here, this is the full menu that AX has. Now you'll notice it's got accounts receivable, payable, all the things you'd expect, and retail right down the bottom. So there's a lot of functionality in AX, and So therefore, in a big organization, there are a lot of people doing different things, so therefore it's important that they be able to coordinate their activities. And it also means that someone like Arnie is probably wearing multiple hats. It's very typical in a company like New Zealand where you do about 10 things in a day. That's typically what I do. And so what Arnie would probably like to do is have his homepage customized so that not only will he have some accounts receivable, he may have accounts payable, functional, and things that he needs to monitor as well. So he can completely customize his screen to the way he likes and this homepage. Just a couple of more things. AX itself, for those people that have never used it before, it is basically, it leverages Microsoft SQL Server. It runs on Windows Server 2008 R2. It's 64-bit, except for the clients, which are still 32-bit. So that's sort of the technology stack behind AX, if you're not familiar with it.
So that was a quick look around Dynamics AX, just giving you guys an overview for those of you who haven't seen it before, which is most of you. So now I've just got a question for you, and we were going to give a prize of a Toblerone bar and an adaptable solutions pen. Very exciting. I know you're all very keen to do this. Okay, can anyone name some of the Microsoft technologies that were shown or mentioned in that demonstration? You're a Microsoft person, you can't answer.
SharePoint,
absolutely. Yep.
SQL Server.
Outlook, yep. Well, that's Office, isn't it? Yes, that's all part.
Gosh, we have a very attentive audience. I feel guilty just awarding one prize.
Okay, well, we'll get a few pens.
Yeah, we'll get some pens. Here we go. Here we go.
Hold on. Okay, come on, it's all the right side of the room. Left side of the room, your challenge. We had SharePoint Server, as you saw, Windows Server, SQL Server, and of course Microsoft Dynamics. None of you actually mentioned that. Very sad indeed. So Greg mentioned earlier how retail in Dynamics AX is just the tip of the iceberg. AX Retail uses all the capabilities of a full ERP system, so warehouse management, importing, distribution, cross-company trading, it all happens here. But because retail is built into it as well, it means we can manage the items, the prices, the stores, the channels, all those things you can see on the screen there, all within Dynamics AX as well. The setup is all done within Dynamics AX, and it's then sent out to the stores and to the POS terminals in those stores as we choose. On a more technical side, this was formerly a partner solution from a company called LS Retail, which Microsoft purchased in 2009, so that was 3 years ago. It's then been extensively enhanced for Dynamics AX 2009 and 2012 and leverages AX to manage things such as the user security, the stores, the pricing, the physical inventory, etc. of it. It also uses store and forward architecture.
That's correct. Now, one of the things is that I think a previous electricity minister explained when there was a large power cut in Auckland that New Zealand is a long, stringy country in the mid latitudes, which means that things like power outages, communication breakdowns, floods, you name it, it's liable to happen. And basically, in a retail environment, all of those things can and do happen all the time, from simple little things like the POS crashing, all the way up to the store, it goes offline because the guy on the contract down the road just cut the data cable and it's going to be a couple of days before you get up. So, with Microsoft have done with AX Retail is that they've designed what they call a store and forward technology, which means that data that comes from head office is replicated down to a centralized server that runs in each store. Now, the server is basically just like a PC. And then in turn, the POS is then a connect to that server in the stores. to operate and get all the data they need to work from. The PIOS itself can also have a local database. So, for instance, if the PIOS is an out of communication range with the store server for any reason, then that could be due to a hiccup or by design, then it can work in offline mode. And what happens is that the changes that are made into the transactions are replicated back up to the store database, and then in turn are replicated back to the head office. So what happens is that the head office will push changes down to the store, which then replicated out to the POSs if needed, and it will also ask the stores to send the changes back, such as transactions. And that can be done in semi-real time.
Okay, so now we're going to go back into Dynamics AX, and Greg is going to show us how we actually look at designing our POSs within Dynamics AX.
Right, mix the button. Here we go. Okay, so I'll just flip to another. That's not the wrong one. This one. Okay, so what I've done here is this is an administrator. The previous guy we saw was Arnie. He's an AR administrator. This is the system administrator. We're in the retail area inside AX, so you can see that there's a lot of things you can do. For right now, what we're going to do is we're going to go and have a look at the screen layout of the POS. So we just run this function. Now, it shows here we've got five different screen layouts that are defined. There are two called manager and two called cashier, and the two of them are called wide because they're set up for a wide screen. You can see the whole width and height here in terms of the width. So we'll just look at the cashier design for a 1024x768 screen. So I'll bring up the designer screen on that. Now, this particular screen, we are going to customize the screen and send it down to a POS. So we'll just We'll get that done. So what we're going to do now is on the seasonal sports menu here, we're going to add an item like one of these. If we look at the men's fleece jacket, we're going to do the same for a boys t-shirt. So to do that, I just right click properties. I then say what I want it to be. And I want to select the image. We'll scroll down here. So the images are all stored inside the database, so they're all available at the POS as well. So we'll pick the boys t-shirt. So I'm going to do that. And I've just put the item code in there. 00140 is the item code for the boys t-shirt. If we can bring it up and have a look, I can scroll through the list here just to check. There it is, boys t-shirt. And select that. So that's how I make a button. Now, if I'm on a button, there are an awful lot of actions I can do. Product sale is obviously just one of them, and there are a whole lot of things that I can do. For this particular button, we just want it to be a product sale. So effectively, this is a shortcut button that lets us just say, I want to sell that item. So we can key the item in, we can scan it as well, but this is just a shortcut item for a cashier. The other thing is, you'll notice that down here, it's got the word check. It's spelled in the American style. We're going to change that. I'm just going to put the abbreviation there, check, because it fits nicely on the right size font. So I'll just clear the image. So now you can see the word check. Now I've left it in blue, so you can see it's different. Okay, so we'll just do that. So I've made a change. Okay, so what we'll see is, this is what the POS looks like now. So this is what user Adina. See, so cashier Adina, you can see here that she doesn't have the button there.
Try to minimize the rest of them so it just shows separately, right?
Yep,
that's
so this is so Adina's logged in to the POS terminal. So this is what could happen while she's using AX. So we're going to log her off that terminal just for the purposes. We'll go back to AX and we will send down the changes. So now I've made the changes to my POS, we want to send it out to the store. Now we don't have to put on a USB stick and run around or anything like that. We just push it out from head office. So we're going to go there to the registers. So this could be scheduled to happen automatically, so it could happen every week, every day, whenever you need to make a change.
So as you can see here, this distribution schedule is the means by which we send or receive data from the head office, from Dynamics AX, which holds all of it, down to the actual stores and the POS terminals. So we just create different groups of things depending what we want to do. So if we do a price refresh, we could send that down. We add new items, send that down, etc.
Okay, so we just ran that down there. It tells us down the bottom here, 11:10, that it ran successfully. So that just means I've pushed it out. So all of it's gone out to all of the store servers or PCs, and they're going to start, and it's then available in the POS. So we'll just switch back to the POS here. I'm going to log on as a demo. Now, the screen on this thing is designed to be used as like a touch screen, so I could go just touch the screen rather than have a keyboard. But for now, I'll just use the mouse. And a login as a demo. Now, this particular setup on this POS is that you have to put your operator ID in and then your password. You can also configure it to show a list of operators that can log on and then they put their password in. Having separate logins for passwords is a requirement for PCI DSS, which we'll get into in a minute. So it is important that each operator have their own logon. So here we go. So you can see straight away, hey, that check button down here has changed. And we'll go into the seasonal sports. And look, there's the best t-shirt. So now I'll click on that. And it's going to ask me, what colour is it? And I say, I want to sell a magenta. And we're going to do a small. Okay, so that's going to bring it up. So here we go. So it's now added effectively to the sale, best t-shirt, magenta, small. So one last thing I want to do is we'll put a... I'm going to record a transaction comment. So just to show this is not smoke and mirrors, I'll put a comment. Is anyone going to give me a comment that I can put in, about 30 characters?
How about you guys on the left?
It's yeah, you guys are a bit quiet.
This is a cool tool. Okay, thank you, Steph, and I'll give you some chocolate as a thank you for supplying.
Okay, so I've just put a comment in for that line. We'll show in a minute that will appear up in AX, the transaction. The other one we now want to do is we want to actually pay for it. Now, the options on the bottom, we're going to look at the card option, but just for now, we'll assume the customer is paying cash. So this is all customizable, but for the moment, it's basically the customer has exact change, or you can key in an amount. So let's say the customer has given us $30, we'll just put in $30. Okay, and then it tells us, hey, you need to give the customer $8 sooner on change, and that will trigger the drawer open, and then you do the normal and print out a receipt.
So by currency, of course, you define what your dollars and your coins are. So in a New Zealand one, of course, it would show you don't give any change, or you give 70 cents, not 71, because we don't have 1 cent coins anymore.
True.
So
yeah, for electronic transactions.
This is the US database.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll go back here. So the next thing is we want to see their transaction. So what I'm going to do is automatically you would have this automatically set to run, but for now, for the purposes of here, we'll just pull that transaction back.
So you can see the one down the bottom, which is the P job is the POS transaction, so by clicking it, Greg's just making it automatically pull from all the different POSs that it is set to pull from. Again, it's your choice of whether it's a group or a particular store or, you know, your choice of how it's all set.
Okay, so we'll go into the transaction screen. I'll just sort it by date to get the most recent stuff at the top. And you'll notice there's a few there for the 5th. But the one we're interested in is the one that happened just now. So here we can see the sale here. So if I go, that's the one we just made, and I can go here and see this is a cool tool. So what do you think? Yeah. We can also see, for instance, the operator that did it, so 000600, that's Adina, that's her ID. We know which terminal it was. We have a whole lot of stuff about receipts. We can also go here and say, look, I want to look at the payment side of it, bring that up, and we can see that $30 was tendered, and we go back to 71 change. So we can see all that. So we've got full traceability through. You can see the individual items that were sold as well. Remember that an individual sale transaction may have many lines on it, so we may even see the individual products that are going to make up that sale.
So, what Greg showed you then was that effectively that the store has a local database, the POS can have a local database, and we use the distribution scheduler to pull the design or the information back and forth. So Dynamics AX was the central repository for the everything on the actual, the POS design, the stores, the setup, the items, the inventory, and everything like that. So imagine if you actually had like a wholesale company or a distribution company and you had a little factory shop on the side. You could be using Dynamics AX to run your whole business, your importing, your distribution, etc., and also run a retail shop for you as well. The great thing about it, of course, with the local databases means that if you lose connections, which happens in New Zealand occasionally when we have power cuts, that your POS will still work, which is the important thing.
Yes, and the other thing is that you don't have to use the store and forward technology that's built in. If you, for instance, you just want to run a factory shop off the back of your warehouse, you don't need all that. You don't need that sophisticated architecture. It can be as simple as the POS just runs off the back of the network.
And just as an aside, another thing you can have if you are really into redundancy is your store local database can also have a backup database. So if anything actually happens to that database, you can actually switch to a backup database so that your transactions can keep going. So there's a lot of redundancy built in should you choose to use it on making sure your customers can, you can actually make a sale for those customers.
Where would that backup database typically be located? Would that be on site as well?
Yeah, it would be in the store and the store PC. So, I mean, something like a store PC, you want to have mirror disk and that kind of thing because it's a critical. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question about
Will this technology work if you've got a hosted operation, it's either on premise? AX itself is not fully cloud, optimized yet. It's coming, but yes, you can run AX in a host environment. In actual fact, that's what the WAC, which I mentioned before, this is exactly what they're doing. They do not want to run their servers in house at headquarters in Christchurch, partly because it's in a quakey building. So what they've done is they've used a hosting provider called VBridge, which is a Christchurch-based data center, and they have all of their stores in a wide area network communicating back with that through the comms network. So yes, it does work in a fully hosted environment. The key thing is that the POS integration, all that kind of stuff, it happens at the POS or in the store, so you have to be aware of that.
Okay, so we're now going to look at credit card and FPOS integration. So one of the things you have to think about, as Greg said, it always happens at the store, and especially in New Zealand where so many people don't carry any cash. What we also have to consider, which is also vitally important, is the PCI DSS requirements, the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standards, which basically says things like you can't record credit card detail information and hold it in your system. It's got to be separate. It's got to be able to be held separately to make sure that there's no fraudulent possibility for those ones there. So when you are actually doing FPOS, you've got the choice of doing
you can do full POS integration. I mean, AX little retail component is designed that you can process your credit cards through AX and through a central payment processor located through AX. When you do that, there are all sorts of PCI DSS rules that come into play. You have to encrypt the card. You've got to use triple D's. There's a whole lot of encryption you have to use. Things you can't do, you can't show the credit card number in clear text form at any stage, a whole lot of things like that. So for New Zealand and Australia, basically a lot of people put it in the 2-hour basket. So what they say is, well, yes, we can do that, but what we want to do is treat the EdPOS machine that's actually in the, sitting right next to the POS, we treat it like a black box. We will integrate with it on the POS terminal. But alternatively, if you're a small enough operation, the EdPOS is actually completely standalone and non-integrated. Example of that, I was in Subway the other day. I went and bought a 12-inch long sub. I mean, I couldn't do that. The 12-inch long sub, paid for it, and lo and behold, you did the EdPOS transaction, and there's a separate receipt comes out from the EdPOS machine, and you get a separate receipt from the cash register. So they're not integrated in any way. The guy basically has to manually key the number, the value of the transaction, into the POS machine. So that's an example of what most people do. Corner Dealer does that now. They have a little cash register, they run out the transaction, what you're buying, and then they put the total amount. Plus, if they get you to do cash out, or let you do cash out, they'll add that on as well.
But of course, the danger of that is incorrect keying. I remember years ago getting petrol when they didn't have an integrated FPOS, and it cost me $30, I think, at the time. Petrol was a lot cheaper back then. And the guy keyed it.
Petrol was always cheaper back then, too.
Instead of $30 onto my credit card. And I didn't notice, and I just, you know, just hit, signed it, and it was like, oh dear, thank you very much. So they had to then credit it. But it was, you know, that was because they had to do the re-keying and they keyed it incorrectly. So integration in some way is always better. So
I can tell you a funny story. Years ago, Duncan and I, we went out for our annual Christmas dinner. We happened to be about three employees. So we went to a local cafe and we spent about $150 on a meal. It's okay. The guy that ran up the transaction put it in as $1,500. Okay? But Duncan didn't pick it up because it's easy to miss a couple of decimal point when you know. Anyway, so he signed it off and then suddenly, wow, this is $1,500 transaction I just signed off. And of course the guy was authorized to do the transaction but couldn't credit it. So it took Duncan about 3 days to get them to wind that transaction back because theoretically the guy that could do it was not there. So we're not sure whether it was a genuine mistake or the guy just wanted to top his balance up by putting $150 over Christmas. Yeah. So yeah, he says, hey, it can happen for all sorts of reasons. So what we're going to do now is with AX we get a full POS SDK, so we can integrate all the stuff we see at the POS we can integrate. So we're going to move now and we're actually going to look at an example of how to integrate FPOS at the POS. Okay, so we've got any coders here, any .NET hackers? Yeah, right. So techhead, gotta have some code, right? And second session, have you seen any code yet? A little bit, right, okay, we're going to see some more, okay? So, for you guys that aren't coders, well, it might be interesting, so just stay tuned. So, don't tune out, there might be some questions. So, what I've got here is, with the standard SDK, they provide a standard solution which encompasses 32 projects, which you can see down the right-hand side here. So, the one that we're interested in looking at today is the one called EFT. Now, what I've done is our guys at Adaptable, have the development guys customized this, and we've actually got a paint Express terminal that we're using in the office for testing on this, and basically we're using Payment Express, but we're using it in a test mode, which means we get a simulated PIN pad come up and we can do transactions in it. So what I'm going to do is I've got Visual Studio code here. Now, to integrate with a pod, it's fairly straightforward. There is a single class called EFT.cs. It has some methods on it. The one that we're actually capturing is the one called Process Card Payment, which passes in a couple of parameters, and what we're going to do with that, what the code we've written does, it basically takes that information, we square it away because we are going to need that in terms of the amount of the transaction. We bring up a little form, and then we show the dialogue, and then wait for things to happen. So we look at the design of that form. It's very simple. What we have here is a field that shows us a graphical amount. We have a cancel and an authorize button, and that little white box in the corner there, that's an ActiveX control which Payment Express provides that you can embed in your .NET apps. So it's not the only method of integration that Payment Express have. They have an XML interface where you can send a little XML message across the network to the central, basically the FPOS black box that's sitting in the store, and then they'll give you a response back. Very similar, but so if we look at the form code on that, the bit where everything happens is on the authorize button click. So let's go and have a look at what happens when you click the button. So what I've got here, it's very straightforward what the code does. It simply says, well, look, I'm going to get the amount that's in the box, convert it to a number, round it to two decimal places. In this particular case, because it's a standalone FPOS machine that doesn't have an inbuilt printer, in New Zealand you have to have a receipt printed for every FPOS credit card transaction. So we have to tell the system what printer we're going to use. So in this case it's just hard-coded. Now, for the purpose of the demo, we don't have a real printer, I don't have an FPOS machine, so I am just going to put it in, I've got it in test mode here, which simulates all that. But in real life, you would need a printer. The other thing is that I use the transaction ID that comes out of AEX, and the key thing is here, I set my currency to 554. Now that's a Payment Express magic number, if you like, that is used to say it's New Zealand dollars. But there's no reason why you can't do other than New Zealand dollar transactions, provided obviously that your merchant alerts you, and you've got an interface that allows that. But in this particular case, we're hard-coding it to New Zealand dollars. We allow only purchases and refunds. So if it's a purchase, it's a positive amount, and if it's a refund, then it's a negative amount. But what we have to do, because it's a refund, we have to make the amount negative the amount to make it positive, and then send it through the machine. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to run that. We'll put it in debug mode. So what this is going to do is it's going to start, it's going to bring up the POS client. Now the POS client is designed to run in full screen mode. Now we're not running it in full screen mode here just because it makes the demo simpler, we don't have to switch screens. But you can, the idea is being that you walk up to the POS machine, it is sitting there with this log on screen sitting on it, and the operators, the cashiers log in and they do their business. They can't restart the PC, things like getting back to the start bar to go do stuff is just not permitted, because it's part of the PCI DSS rules that you don't do those sort of things. So it locks it down quite, so you can see here a little button just down here. If you've got rights, you can restart and shut down the actual PC that this is running on, or exit just move and you can exit the POS client. So for now, we're just going to log back in as a demo. And I'll put a pin on green. So what we're going to do is we'll sell one of these t-shirts, and we're going to pay for it with credit card. So just wait for it to come back up. It's because we're running it under debug mode, it's a little bit slower than it would normally be. Okay, so here we go. So I'm going to go up here. We'll sell a boys t-shirt. Okay, we'll sell a yellow one this time, not about large. Okay, that's $29. Okay, so this time I'm going to press the card button. So what happens is it's actually called into our code. We haven't put a breakpoint there, we haven't seen it yet. It's asking for the amount. Now I can obviously, we can let the operator adjust that up. So if you want to let them do an FPOS, $100 cash out, it's me, I need lots of cash.
You never
heard
that.
That's right. So, I used every FPOS transaction at my bank. And the problem is they have no cash. So when I click authorize, so that's basically stepped into the code. So we can see here that we've got the transaction ID that's come from AX. We can see we've set that. So I'll just I'll let that code run. And then what it's done here is it's brought up the simulated PIN pad. So what we've got here, we've got two windows. I'll just move it apart. So this is the Payment Express. So effectively, the window you can hear says a waiting card or a cancel button. That's pretending to be the FPOS PIN pad that the customer would see. And over here, it's giving me some credit cards that I can actually work with. So I'm going to say, fine, we'll pick that card, we'll swipe it through the machine, we'll then put in a PIN. Now, it doesn't matter what PIN we put in, it works. So these are just for testing. So it's pretending that I've processed it, come back and says, hey, look, that's accepted. Okay, so what's going to happen is it's then continued on, and we're going to the next line of code, and it's saying what the code does here, this is code we've written, it checks whether the transaction is authorized or not. Authorized means was it approved, and we capture the information like the fact it was authorized, what the response text we got, and some other information like the card type. So I'll just let that run. And what will happen is the POS will come up and tell me, hey, look, that's authorized. It's an MX payment, and you give it $100, please. So thank you, sir, $100. Okay, so that's the transaction completed. So let's do another one. We want to see what happens when it doesn't work. What do you reckon? I like breaking stuff. Okay, so we'll sell the boys, son. I'm going to give my white one this time, and we'll do a large. Okay, so I'm going to do current this time. Now, if I just go cancel here, it's going to bring me up and say, hey, you cancelled it. So I didn't even get to the POS machine. So I'll do that again. This time I'm going to go authorize. It's going to come through this, so we'll just let that run. Okay, now if I go cancel now, it's going to come back and say the transaction was commonly cancelled by the user, as you can do with any POS machine. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, look, we're going to swipe this card. And then I'm going to go credit card, and then I'm going to press enter, which means that I'm going to sign the docket. And it's going to come up and say, hey, to the operator, the signature okay. So I'm going to say, pretend that the guy didn't sign it the same, he's obviously trying to steal stuff. So it says signature declined. So, okay, so the POD machine said declined, so let's see what the code does. So the authorized will be false, and it says here that we get a response text of signature declined and the response, so we just send that through. So what happens is, it comes up on the POS. So, very simple. I mean, obviously, example of signature declined is one that we've triggered, but equally when the transaction gets processed, goes out to the bank, they could say, I'm sorry, that card's expired, or it could well be that it's already over the credit limit, or any number of reasons that why the transaction could be. So I'm going to leave that transaction. I just want to show you something very quickly. So that's fit it into the EPOS integration. But we're still running it in debug mode now, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop this. And stop debugging. And what that's going to do is that's going to kill the POS client dev that we were running. So, but we were, if you remember, we were in the middle of trying to sell that t-shirt. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back in and say, well, this simulates a POS crash, right, a POS machine's crash. So I'm going to log back into Dina, and what you'll see is it picks up the transaction even though as it was. So it's still sitting in the POS waiting for me to finish it up. So it doesn't matter if Dina is in the middle of a huge transaction, power goes out, anything like that, it will be stored in the database, so when the POS comes back up, she can complete the transaction.
So it's not
to
the same operator?
No, when you've got an open transaction, Adena can suspend the transaction. Come in if they didn't have it. McDonald's used to have this thing like where you get about two or three people serving customers, and they would each do a transaction, suspend it, and then someone else could come in and do it. Very similar. And more to the point, in the case of Seattle, Seattle's got two POS lanes, Seattle 1 and 2. Adena can be working on POS lane 1, suspend the transaction, and go across the other key terminal, log in, and finish it up. So example could be that, hey, the EPOS machine on POS 1 just broke. No problem, we'll go to POS 2. Finish up there. So you remember, we logged in as Adena, and there we go, there's that transaction that we were trying to get the credit card processing for. So what do you reckon about that? That's pretty good. A bit of what you'd expect, but it's still pretty good. So the other one is if Adena tries to log off now, it says, hey, finish it up. So we'll just go. What was that? Stick it through that. Just okay. So this is running outside the debugger, so you can see that. We'll just... Okay, so it's all okay. Thank you. Transaction done, and then we can log off. He's finished for the day. Hey, look at that. Okay, we're done.
So, what we learned from that, so you would have seen that basically integration with Dynamics AX for Retail, the integration between the POS and the FPOS terminals is actually pretty easy. You get the EFT.cs code already in there, you just need to have a technical person go in and just decide what sort of transactions, what sort of currencies you're going to do. I mean, if you're at an airport, for example, you might say, well, I'll take not just New Zealand dollars, but also US dollars, euros, etc., Australian dollars. Some people use those, that sort of thing. So it makes it very easy to be PCI DSS compliant, which is very important for retailers in New Zealand. It also works with your local FPOS equipment. So because we're actually designing the screen layout only within Dynamics AX, you can have existing FPOS equipment, you know, different sorts of screens or terminals, or have them on bar poles or whatever, and you just set up an AX. I'm using this sort of hardware. So if you are using AX for retail, you don't need to go and buy a whole heap of new hardware for it. It can use your existing FPOS hardware that you've got, as long as it's OPOS compliant. That's the standard there. And of course, if the FPOS supports it, if there is a crash, you haven't lost anything in there. It's all easily able to be offline and online again. I was at the airport a little while ago, and I was queuing up for a coffee, and the FPOS went down. And basically, the two guys in front of me had no cash, surprisingly, and they couldn't therefore buy a coffee. But I had cash, so I was okay. But that FPOS went down, and I sat there thinking, you don't have the right equipment. You should be using AX for retail. Sad truth. So, to summarise, really, why you should choose Dynamics AX for retail. As I've mentioned before, it uses standard PC and OPOS components. It's got the full back office included. So Dynamics AX allows you to set up your general ledger, your accounts receivable, accounts payable, everything, your inventory, your replenishment. That has a master planning module that can actually work out your recommended purchase bits and pieces for you. It's got purchase requisitions, request for quotations, workflow, a whole heap of stuff that a modern ERP or enterprise resource planning system has. It's supported by fantastic partners such as Adaptable Solutions that Greg is from. It uses all standard Microsoft technology, so if you already have invested in SQL Server and Visual Studio, Windows Server, SharePoint, for example, it just uses those as well to make it easy. You've also seen how easy it was to change. We just did a very simple change. Greg showed you how we went into a queue and then we created our own personalized queue. And the nice thing about that was it doesn't have to actually be my own personal queue. I can create a queue like that and other people can pop it onto their desktops as well. Or we can create it at a role level. So there's about 30 different role centers as standard in Dynamics AX that are all made up of web parts based on SharePoint. So you can basically, they're basically templates, so you can actually personalize them the way you want for each role in the system. And it's robust and proven in the industry with customers such as Bivouac, Icebreaker, and Combined Rural Traders. Those are two more customers who are currently implementing Dynamics AX in retail. So that's the end of our session. I've just popped up here the next book, the other Dynamics content that's on, which are all in this room here. So the NAV session was earlier today. So the next session after this is mobile with Dynamics CRM, but there's all the other Dynamics CRM sessions, very exciting sessions, absolutely, are in this room for the rest of today and tomorrow. Just a reminder too, we just put the standard resources up on here. This is the things you can do. You can locate a Dynamics AX partner on Pinpoint, which is our Microsoft partner search area. Contact myself or Greg by email if you have any more questions. And lastly, don't forget to evaluate the session. Okay, thank you. Right. Any questions, anyone?